This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians this week, and according to the feed stats, we have quite a few new listeners to the podcast, so
welcome!
Thank you. I'm Chris Spangle. With us almost every week is
Brayton Harrington
and Chris Galt.
Yeah.
So, We Are Libertarians is a podcast. It's also a new site that you can go and check out at WeAreLibertarians.com. And we bring you news updates every day. We bring you original commentary. The podcast is a look at all the news that's going on through the week from a libertarian perspective. And we're made up of a broad spectrum of libertarians. I'd love it to be an anarcho-capitalist society. That's definitely where I'm headed towards, but constitutional republic is probably the closest we'll get to heaven on earth. How would you describe your political philosophy, Chris Galt?
Government is the root of all evil.
Yeah. He's our Ernie Hancock on the show.
Are you a voluntarist?
I wouldn't say our Alex Jones.
But I believe if the system's there, you have to use it to your ends. So.
Right.
I'm involved.
He's a little bit more of our anarchist, sort of the Joker type anarchist. Not the Murray Rothbard kind.
Yeah.
Creighton, how would you describe your political philosophy?
I'd say I, too, in a perfect world, would see there being no government. But since the world is not perfect, got to deal with it. So
why you settle for less than perfect?
See, there you go.
You just said you did.
About
you literally just said you did, too.
About minute 40 is when these two, every episode, these two start fighting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And occasionally joining us is our token Republican libertarian, Greg Lenz, and Joe Ruiz. I don't even really know technically what Joe Ruiz is, but Joe's a writer on the blog. So go to WeAreLibertarians.com, check it out. So that's a little bit about us. The big news, obviously, is the beginning of the second term of one Barack H. Obama.
It's not a party. Celebration.
It's not that big.
It wasn't that big.
It was amazing.
The ratings were down.
You weren't there. You can't talk about it.
Okay, well, that's
I
weird.
Didn't even watch it because...
No, somebody told me that
I
before.
Didn't want to watch it.
Did you watch it?
I did not watch it.
All right, I watched it. And you know why I watched it?
So you could talk about it
on the podcast. Yeah.
No, because I was in a dentist chair getting a root canal.
Oh
dang. That's like that's like adding insult to injury.
So I had to watch the second inauguration of Barack Obama while getting a root canal.
I could hear the dentist drilling. He's so inspirational.
I kind of got the feeling that the dentist and the dental assistant were not Obama fans. But
yet they didn't change the channel.
No, because it's the inauguration. I didn't like watching George Bush get inaugurated, but
so don't watch
still
it.
Watched it.
Why?
Why wouldn't you watch it, though?
Because there was, like, if you have 100 channels, there's, like, 99 better things to watch if the inauguration.
You know how many times I've seen Duck Dynasty?
You know, who had the inauguration on? Every news station, so you just supported the mainstream media is all you did.
That's the type of libertarian he is. So...
Well, that's why you shouldn't watch it.
I'm a news junkie. That's basically all I do is read and listen to news when I'm not working. So
we have to pass our information via OWL.
And even part of my work is reading the news. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to watch it.
Chris Gall gets his news from Carrier Pigeon, guys.
He gets it from naturalnews.com.
The Onion.
Listen. Don't you guys feel that sometimes the Onion is the best source of
it is. You know what's funny is they in North Korea not too long ago, they tried to they pushed an Onion article as if it was truth about the Kim Jong-un or whatever the new guy's name is. The Onion said that he got a sexiest dictator award, North Korea thought it was an actual news article, and they put it on the front page of their newspaper.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It's hilarious. If you guys haven't seen, just sidebar, if you haven't seen the video of the successful missile launch, and they have like they just randomly on the streets found, you know, several dozen people who all are within the same age range walking down the street at the same exact time, where it's just a crowd of people and then surrounding them is just open space. So, and then all of a sudden they just spontaneously start jumping up and down and cheering. So it's kind of funny. Another side note, Rupert Bonham was in a North Korean propaganda film. Found that out this week.
Why are they propagandizing?
That Americans, if you go look up Rupert's kids on Facebook, you can find the link to the documentary. And in, it's like 27 minutes in, Rupert's at 28, and I started watching at 27. And it basically was talking about how aggressive the American military is and the president. People don't like George Bush, so they have another puppet, i.e. Barack Obama, start saying opposite things, even though he does the exact same thing. And I was like, oh, crap, I might be a North Korean.
No, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Talking about propaganda films, I watched, there's a propaganda film on Netflix that was made by Hitler in the Third Reich.
Oh,
And it's like a
Triumph
1930s.
Of the Will?
Yes.
Yes.
It's considered one of the best films of the 40s because
classic.
It was so perfect.
I just
propaganda.
Watched it this week. Blew my mind.
The lady,
I felt really patriotic and American after the end of that movie. I was like, man, how did anyone hate Hitler? Like, he was an amazing leader.
The girl who made
people
that.
People were just like.
The girl who made that movie said that she was threatened. She had to make that movie. She didn't support Hitler.
Nah.
Which is kind of hard to believe because it's like the greatest propaganda film of all time.
It is amazing.
Obama's inauguration. Some of the conservative pundits, most notably Rich Lowry, wrote this week that the right wing basically had Obama pegged, and he finally came out and told the truth that he was a. While he respects the Constitution, he really just is a big government socialist. Let me read a little bit of Lowry's column. He was writing in Politico. Rich Lowry is the National Review editor as well. If you listen to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham, you got a better appreciation of Obama's core than by reading the president's friends and sophisticated interpreters, for whom he was either a moderate or a puzzle yet to be fully worked out. Rush et al. Doubted that Obama could have emerged from the left-wing milieu of Hyde Park, become in short order the most liberal U.S. senator, run to Hillary Clinton's left in the 08 primaries, and yet have been a misunderstood centrist all along. They heeded his record and his boast in 2008 about fundamentally transforming the U.S. Of America, and discounted the unifying tone of his rhetoric as transparent salesmanship. They got him right, even as he duped the Obamacons, played by the press and fooled by his sympathizers. And he talks about, essentially, the lines in the inauguration, and I don't know if you guys have watched the speech or listened to it, but
nope.
Through the speech was essentially, you guys are really helpful on this topic, through the speech, he basically tries to tie his view of government to the vision of the founders. So
what
most,
a douche.
Yeah, most notably.
The only thing I can picture him saying is Hamilton, Hamilton, Hamilton. Hamilton, 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 Hamilton.
All right, so he says, but we have always understood that when times change, so must we. That fidelity to our founding principles requires new responses to new challenges. That preserving our individual freedoms ultimately requires collective action. For the American people can no more meet the demands of today's world by acting alone than American soldiers could have met the forces of fascism or communism with muskets and militias. No single person can train all the math and science teachers. We'll need to equip our children for the future or build the roads and networks and research labs that will bring our new jobs and businesses to our shores. Now more than ever, we must do these
is
things
it Obama or
together.
Pilot that's saying this
as one nation and one people.
That really, you know, honestly, that plays into either the greatest logical fallacy of the left or their greatest selling point, and that anything that is done through government is done by society by proxy. Mm-hmm. That it's just vicariously the way that society acts.
Right.
And the fundamental problem is that the government and society are two different and usually combatant enemies or entities. and that to say that we need to act collectively in implying that the government is who's doing the acting on behalf of the society is just ridiculous and pretty arrogantly, or I guess just pretty arrogant in general.
And I would recommend reading it, because as much as I disagree with a lot of his speech, he is actually an excellent writer. It's a very well-written speech.
He probably didn't write it.
He does one every 4 years. He probably one good speech every 4 years.
He
does.
He also probably didn't write it.
Oh, man, you guys
the
are
rest
haters.
Of them are terrible.
You guys
do we honestly think that the president writes anything?
No.
Except his signature?
I do actually
He doesn't
believe.
Even do that. He signs them yeah, he does, with an auto pen.
Yeah, he doesn't even... It's computers write his signature now.
I do actually believe that he writes the stuff, because I think he doesn't believe anyone is as brilliant as he is. So, all right. Maybe. So, we hold these truths to be self-evident.
Remember it.
That all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights.
Inalienable.
That among these, God, that's how you know this is a libertarian podcast, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is where he starts talking after quoting
Because after that point is when they say that if the government doesn't fulfill these... protect these rights, you have the right to overthrow it.
And that's why they always stop it there, every time.
Today, we continue a never-ending journey to bridge the meaning of those words with the realities of our time. For history tells us that while these truths may be self-evident, they have never been self-executing. That while freedom is a gift from God, it must be secured by His people here on Earth. The Patriots of 1776 did not fight to replace the tyranny of a king with the privileges of a few or the rule of a mob.
Oh, my God.
They gave to us a republic. This is where I started.
He said this?
Yeah. This, what? Let me tell you, I'm in the dentist chair, I'm listening to the speech.
And you're listening to...
I have fingers in my mouth, and when he says this line, I go... Prr! They gave to us a republic. A government of and by and for the people, entrusting each generation to keep safe our founding creed.
They gave us a republic, and I guarantee you I will work every day to dismantle it.
That's where I thought he was going with it. Like,
I know. They gave us a republic. Now, after I've built up all these awesome things the founders did, let me tell you, they were wrong. I'm right.
Let me take away your guns and
by republic,
and make you buy healthcare.
By republic, I mean vote for politicians.
Let's add some cap and trade to that and regulate some businesses. And
they separated the powers of the different branches of the government, and I don't really like that because I can't do executive actions like I want to.
No, seriously, though, he has been sounding a little more arrogant recently.
It's because he doesn't have to run for re-election.
Is that it?
Well, duh. Right. Why do you think he's talking about guns?
I mean,
he didn't say a word about guns during Aurora. And now that this happened after he secured re-election, now he's talking about... And he's going to make the Senate and probably a lot of House members lose because of this. Because he's going to push this until... He's going to push it for a while. And yeah. That's what caused a lot of the people in the 94 Republican rampage was because they passed that assault weapons ban. And Obama doesn't have to worry about it, so he's talking about it to secure his legacy. But people like Harry Reid... are being very curiously quiet about the gun control issue because they know if they talk about it, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
Pelosi talks about
it. He almost lost last time, and if he picks that up, he's definitely going to lose over there in the West.
So he's pretty much being like, you know what, screw you, Senate. I'm going to secure my legacy. You can deal with it.
It basically is a love letter to big government. Not that we expected anything less. So what I'd like to kind of talk about in this episode is a lot of times I think there's way too much mania on the Republican and Libertarian and conservative and, you know, on the right, essentially. Too much mania. And I think Jon Stewart nailed it in sort of a leveling, just leveled us in a lot of ways when he was talking about the gun debate. And I'm not saying I agree with this, but he said, essentially... So you're telling us that we must keep the guns to protect ourselves from the rise of Hitler 2.0. We can't fix our dystopian present because we might have a dystopian future. I was like, ooh, yeah. Because when people like Alex Jones go on TV and rant and rave and sound like maniacs, makes all of us look bad.
Well, the premise of that is that accept the growth of government because... what you are describing as an evil isn't going to occur soon. So you're crazy if you don't accept our little tiny encroachments for the reasons that are in that. I mean, the Second Amendment, everyone knows that was put in there to make sure that the government didn't get too big. Mm-hmm. So that if they ever tried to pull a King George III again, and then you would have people with arms in order to revolt. I mean, regardless of whether or not you agree with that, that is why they put it in there.
Right.
And now when you use that argument as to why you shouldn't touch the Second Amendment, they immediately come back with, well, do you honestly think we live in that world today? You should go ahead and sacrifice some of these liberties because you're not going to live in such a tyranny and we could be better protected in whatever argument I want to come up with. And so accept my little encroachment because your fear is not going to be manifest in the near future. And it's really a sad argument to say that. I mean, it'd be one thing if I thought that they honestly believe that banning guns would, like, make people safer. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I know they don't believe that. And if they do, then it's because they're stupid. I mean, the statistics are against them. Everything. Everything that's as far as safety of children, safety of anybody, is against the argument that
public opinion is against them.
Public everything.
Everything.
The only reason that they support it is because it's good politics for their base.
Well, let me wind it back, because my question is, where is the line? Clearly, I think there is some truth to what Rich Lowry was saying, that the right has, in a lot of respects, pegged Barack Obama more than Barack Obama supporters, who say, he's just a moderate, he's just on this side. But at the same time, he's not a tyrant. And I know that there are people listening that are going to go, well, that guy's just an idiot, I'm not listening to him anymore. But the fact is that Barack Obama, and I think we've said it basically every week, Barack Obama is not a tyrannical dictator. So
he's got 4 years left.
So what? Where, no,
but see, that's
your premise. Is
but where is what? Are we too, with our words? Are we too extreme in the way we phrase things? I mean, sometimes,
honestly, I don't know. Your premise is dependent upon the idea of, like, a tyrant being. The example of a tyrant in present day society is like Hitler. Mm-hmm. All right, in past societies before you had the Holocaust, a tyrant didn't. I mean, you were a tyrant with far less, and we put up with a lot of crap in America. And I think in past times they would have said this is a tyrannical step in a lot of respects. Property taxes. I mean, stuff like that, those are big steps to people. Like the Founding Fathers weren't mad because they had a lot of their taxes taken away. It was that the Parliament even thought they had the right to take them, and that was worth a revolt. I mean, they did a lot over far less than we do nothing over way more.
The erosion of property rights, even something as simple as the fact that you can no longer legally jailbreak your phone in the United States of America as of tomorrow. It will be illegal for you to take your cell phone and jailbreak it, because the Congress just said that even though that phone that you own, which is your property, you cannot jailbreak it.
They can't do that.
They can do that because they just did.
They can't do that.
Yeah, they can because they just did.
They can't do a lot of stuff.
Because
they do.
Carriers who have a lot more lobbying power than all the geeks in the world. They made it so.
They can't do that.
The all Republican Congress did this.
That's Congress making laws for companies.
Right.
That's Verizon Wireless making a law for the country.
Welcome to America.
Are you speaking out of, like...
I didn't know that, like, this had happened, so...
Yeah. It came out yesterday. It was a law that kind of snuck through. So there's an example, a clear example of you with your own personal
property.
I guess
I'm going to go to prison tomorrow.
Well... We always knew it was a matter of time. I mean, but that's an example.
Thank God that Congress is out there protecting us from those kids jailbreaking their phones.
Right.
I mean,
when crime rates are soaring and the economy's tanking and we got to worry about jailbreaking.
But that
phones.
Is an example of property rights being eroded. So what are the argument? What are the other arguments for us living in some sort of tyrannical dystopian present?
I mean, what are, how are we...
I mean, does it really justify the kind of language when we...
I'd say the income tax is a tyrannical step. I'm kind of crazy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel like Americans have grown up in such a way that they look at things that are established that other people from the past would be like, this is ridiculous. Why do you put up with this? Like the income tax is a great example. I mean, that's a step that I think is far, far more treacherous than, you know, anything that the founders had to put up with. Man. I mean, you can just run down the list. It controls on the sale of goods, you know, interstate commerce controls, tariffs, inter-country controls. I mean, every economic regulation there is relies on the premise that the government has the authority to tell two individuals what they can and can't trade with each other.
But don't we put distance between ourselves as libertarians and people who are not as politically savvy as, you know, or who are just casual observers to the news? Don't we put distance between ourselves and people who might vote for our candidates when we talk like that?
Oh, absolutely. Totally, totally. We drive a lot of people away when we talk like that. That's why
doesn't make it false.
That's why when you're talking to people in a sense of running an election, you do have to change your message.
The truth? You can't handle the truth. It's exactly what this
the
is
Democrats,
about.
The Democrats figured this
Some
out a long
time ago.
Some
people just can't handle the truth.
Well, the Democrats a long time ago figured out that people don't like what they stood for. So they don't like the idea that the government... I mean, big government historically has been... whenever the encroachments have come, have been unpopular. Now, they've gotten popular over time, but the Democrats figured out a long time ago that they had to change their message. That's why, I mean, everybody has to change their message to make it sound...
I guess that's why you hear all of his advisors coming out and say, nah, he's a centrist. Barack Obama's in the middle. What are you talking about?
Maybe
big government and socialism.
Every one of these issues has a message. I mean, that's why it's called pro-choice, not pro-kill babies.
Pro-death. So if we're going to be the party of principle, doesn't it, you know, as the Libertarian Party is known, isn't there an inherent hypocrisy in going out and saying one thing and believing another just to get elected?
No.
Isn't that sort of the problem that Republicans face? I know
no.
We have this argument a lot, and we'll probably have it again when we talk about Mr. Rand Paul in a segment coming up.
No, because you're okay, you could do the argument of, you know, saying one thing and doing another as long as you do the right thing. I don't really see a problem with that. But you also do the other argument of if you're going to play politics, if you're going to attempt to, you know, move forward in the political scene, then, you know, respecting it as this, you know, bastion of principle or anything like that's kind of just kind of dumb. So, I mean, it's by its nature, it's shady and it's... not a noble tradition anyway, so whatever.
Galt, buddy, what do you think?
I don't know.
Just giving up on life?
I can't get over this jailbreak.
Okay,
thing,
well,
it's making me want to, like...
I mean, the way I see it is this.
Move out of America.
You have two options.
I'll tell you about it in a second.
You have two options. You can either try to maneuver politically... and advance what you believe in, even if you have to say one thing and do another. As long as you're still doing the right thing, I have no problem with that. That's your choice. Or you can try and incite some popular revolt against the government from, you know, the social media networks and have them take over the country and establish this bastion of liberty that I think that's not going to happen.
Sort of
I'm
an
sorry, but
Alex,
it's not going to happen.
Sort of a Glenn Beck type situation where you're trying to isolate yourself from.
Or
America
you can make a
large. Billion,
or you could become one of the most important businessmen in America, and then just decide to not do business anymore. And you could do that.
Move to Galt's Gulch.
Yeah, you could do a Galt's Gulch kind of thing, but that ain't going to happen either.
I don't know. You can't walk the walk without talking the talk. You can't say one thing and do another. In my opinion, I don't accept that.
If you're
going to be a representative for liberty in your votes, you need to do it in your voice, too.
I look at it and I say, people are not going to learn, you know, and this is part of the problem that Rand Paul's going to have, is that he has maybe learned from some of his missteps. And it's taking more of the Creighton route as opposed to maybe more of a Galt route.
But it's not necessarily as you're describing it. It's one thing to say... I'm pro or I'm anti-war and then go on a rampage against the Middle East. It's another to say I'm not anti-war, I'm pro-defense, and then take a step back on rampaging in the Middle East. Because pro-defense sells better than anti-war, unfortunately, in today's world. So, or at least a Republican, the Republican base. You're not sacrificing your principles when you say something like that, but you are advancing yourself to a point where you can make a significant difference and actually affect real change.
So
that's
so,
the thing that people in the liberty movement have to get over.
Rhetoric that doesn't
whoop-de-doo.
No, you're not teaching anyone in the general public
are,
what it means to be
then be
anti-war.
A teacher.
It doesn't
then don't
matter
be a
if
politician.
Guys,
be a teacher.
Guys, we're 10 minutes early. You got 10 more minutes before you guys can start fighting. So you're saying it's not about being pro-offense like most hawks are. It's being pro-defense, saying, I believe in military action when we have to defend ourselves, versus phrasing it as, I am against war, I'm for peace, and the only time I'd ever support any kind of military action is when the military takes place. Is that sort of...
Yeah, it's messaging. It's just salesmanship. I mean, anyone who's ever been sold to by the lady at the jewelry store or the guy at the used car lot has had the same thing happen to him.
It happens
all the time.
That's what I do for a living now.
Some people don't like things sold to them. Some people like the truth.
Well, those are also the people that don't vote. And the people who don't
vote don't matter. I don't want to be lied to like that.
Then
and
don't
anyone
watch,
that does
then,
that to
then
me,
don't
I'm
follow
not going
to
support.
Then don't follow politics.
All right. Let's.
There are still politicians that tell the truth.
Who? Ron Paul? He's a once in like every 100 years guy.
All right. Well,
so
it doesn't mean there can't be more of them.
Yeah,
some people would start
does.
Actually telling the truth.
Human history shows that those people do not come very often. That's why they're remembered throughout history. If everyone was like that, then you wouldn't remember them.
There were more than one of them in 1776, and
kind
that's
of
why they
there were a
that's
few.
Why they saved their country.
All right,
there
boys.
Were a few.
Hello.
Well, that's why
Hello.
They started their country.
Jailbreak. Okay, so 2016, it seems like this week was the week that we got our start. We had Hillary in front of Rand Paul and Marco Rubio testifying, and she, you know, I gotta say, she was kind of. I heard a lot of people say that she was impressive. That
she didn't say anything.
No, she certainly didn't. But
it's all about her dress.
She looked like she manhandled them.
Did she?
Kind of. If you watched it, you were like, oh.
Really? Because they started the whole thing with, you are Hillary Clinton, and
right.
We love you, and thank you for everything you've done, and we love you too.
The Daily Show did a great thing about it. And here come the Democrats out swinging. If you could get me restaurant tips, that'd be great. From the Democrats. If you watch, I think the reason I sort of felt that way, more than thought that way, was feeling that way, is that you watch these things and it's so boring anytime you watch testimony hearing, and she just came out and she just was like, I'm sorry, you're kind of a dumbass, Mr. Rubio. You know?
She pounded the table.
She emoted.
She pounded the table.
So you had Marco Rubio, who in that, and also the John Kerry hearings took place this week, and Marco Rubio was arguing with John Kerry for intervention in Syria, military intervention.
God.
So you had Marco Rubio, the great libertarian hope from Florida, arguing
really?
That
yeah,
whoever
president,
whoever said that
he's the next president.
Did they? I
next
mean,
president.
I, did they say that? Who
you
said
had,
that?
You had
or
so
Joe Biden.
Hillary is considered to be running. Joe Biden is another name that's mentioned often. He's
Joe had, Biden will make it like 1 week and then say something stupid and
I
not have Barack Obama to save him.
Guys,
I don't know.
Can
I'm
we all
scared
say
of Joe Biden?
I don't know if you guys are religious, but can we say a prayer right now?
For Joe Biden?
Dear baby Jesus.
Sweet. 8 pounds, 12
oh,
ounce
sweet baby
Jesus.
Jesus.
I know it's been a while.
Oh, sweet baby
but
Jesus.
But for David Letterman, Jimmy Kimmel, and Jon Stewart's sake, could you please, please let him get the nomination? I know it'll be bad for America.
Joe Biden?
But it would be great TV.
He'll make it. That's exactly what's going to happen. Oh, he's going to pull a Rick Perry. He's going to make it like a week or two and then say something really stupid, and he's just going to be out of it because Barack Obama's not going to be there to save him.
I mean, he could ride on the coattails of Obama's liberal regime. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know.
So
it could happen that way, but
so
Clinton was the last time they tried to do that.
So Biden was out there. He's been heavily every day. He's had meetings about the gun stuff. He did a Google Hangout yesterday where he argued that, listen, if you want to protect your family, why are you wasting your money on assault rifles? A shotgun is so much more powerful. And everyone on the left was horrified. every day he steps in it. So he's he had a
How
large.
Did this guy ever make it in politics? He is like the one anomaly. It's like usually you have to be so, you know, cautious of what you say. He just says whatever he wants, and he's still fine. He's
because you look at him, even I look at him, and I go, I'd like to meet that guy. He looks like one hell of a son of a. So, around the first of the year, he had a meeting with over 200 Washington insider Democrats at the vice president's mansion and was asking questions, and several people walked away saying, okay, it's clear he's laying the groundwork for 2016. You had you have Mark Zuckerberg hosting a fundraiser for Chris Christie in New Jersey. Yes. Zuckerberg is a huge fan of school reform.
Oh, really?
And Chris Christie has done a lot of educational reform in New Jersey, and so he's hosting a fundraiser.
By that, we mean busting teachers' unions.
Right. And then Bobby Jindal gave a rousing speech, at least on paper. It wasn't well delivered.
I wish they would not pretend that Bobby Jindal is one of the front runners. You remember how the media tried to push like Tim Pawlenty as like the front runner?
Yes.
And everybody, and I remember thinking to myself that there's no way that anyone other than the mainstream media thinks this guy is a front runner.
They did that with Fred Thompson. In 2007, I worked at the radio station at WXNT. Rest in peace. And Fred Thompson was the presumed front runner at that moment, and he came and gave a press conference and a speech at this big Republican conference that I was covering, and it was the most boring speech on the face of the planet. I was like, this guy will be finished in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but I mean, terrible. It's like Bobby Jindal is there. If they try and push Bobby Jindal as the front runner, good God, it's not going to happen. It's going to be Rand Paul versus Marco Rubio.
I'm calling
it right now.
This is how the Daily Caller phrases it. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal delivered a dynamite speech at the RNC meeting in Charlotte. His message was spot on, but reviews regarding his delivery were mixed. Which is sort of the famous thing after he gave the response to Obama 1 year at the State of the Union. It's like, hey, I'm Bobby Jindal. I'm here to tell you.
It's like, I'm the living dead. In my spare time, I play on an AMC TV show called The Walking Dead.
You also had Marco Rubio, in addition to the Hillary and the Kerry standouts in the some of these hearings. And let's not be fooled. These hearings really are just for this reason, so they can make headlines, so we'll talk about them. Rubio also spoke about education reform on the Chamber of Commerce and talked about immigration reform with Mark Levin, so only crazy old white people heard it. And then there is also Mr. Rand Paul. Rand Paul spoke at he had the line that he would have fired Hillary Clinton had he been president. He also came out and he said the following, which drove a lot of libertarians crazy. The U.S. should make clear to the world any attack on Israel will be treated as an attack on the United States.
Yeah, but you can say whatever you want as long as you act right.
Today, there was a march.
I don't believe for a minute that he'd actually, like, if he were president and Israel got attacked, or if he were president, I'll say it right now, if he gets elected and he becomes the president of the United States, he'll be noted in history as the guy who started to back away from Israel some.
Too bad that I'll never get to prove you wrong, because Rand Paul will never be president.
All right, so let me finish this. There's one more thing that Rand Paul did today, is that he spoke at the March for Life with several others and said the following. Our nation is adrift in a wilderness where right and wrong have become subservient to hedonism of the moment. I believe our country is in need of a revival. He said that at a pro-life rally today in Washington, D.C. So it's pretty clear
that's messaging.
Right, so it's pretty clear.
He's speaking Bible talk to people who are predominantly Bible people.
And no one has, the Paul family, Ron Paul's an OBGYN, he's very pro-life, and the
And he's very religious.
Is very religious. So, we don't fault anybody for being religious or anything
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to say that. My point is that he could have chosen different words. He could have said that, any number of things.
He could have told the truth.
What the hell is that? What are you talking about? Yeah, he's pro-life, and he's using Bible speak to promote his pro-life views. That's not wrong. Why is that wrong? He's not lying.
The opposite of Bible speak would be not showing up to the rally, but I think he's perceived as his father and that he's a libertarian and libertarians are cold-hearted. And I think in a lot of ways, and Matt Lewis made this point in the Daily Caller this week that Rand Paul should probably wait because he's too still closely associated with his father. He's made too many mistakes, like the civil rights thing on Rachel Maddow, where he basically said, you know, black people shouldn't get hired and it's okay for what the South did with segregation, blah, blah, blah. That's what the left thought he said.
Well,
what he actually said is that property rights matter.
If you said JFK wasn't a good president, the left thinks you said
that.
Well,
I don't think he has anything to worry about then.
Can
explain himself.
I think he's sort of trying to Republican up himself before he runs for president. Do you guys think that it's going to work?
I think that he's got the best chance, him and Marco Rubio.
Why?
I just think that that's how it's going to play out. I think Rand Paul has he's going to pull the more, I mean, obviously he's going to pull like the Ron Paul people to a large extent. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to pull more of the more conservative in the sense of like Pat Buchanan style conservative people. And I think Marco Rubio is going to pull the neocon people. I think it's going to be, that is the demographic of the Republican Party. You have the neocon kind of conservatives, you know, the John McCains and the Lindsey Grahams, and then you have the Rand Pauls and the Mike Lees. Everyone else is kind of an undecided that they'll just go with, you know, whoever has the best campaign. And I think that as far as the base goes, I think it's going to be those two versus each other because that's just...
In your two-sided Republican paradigm, where does Dick Cheney fit in?
He'd be with Lindsey Graham, I think.
Oh, but he didn't win the Defender of the Constitution Award from the Republican Party?
You mean from CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference?
Yeah,
he did.
Oh, so the Conservative Union is the speaker of anything that is considered traditionally conservative in the Robert Taft or Howard Buffett.
They're the speaking of what is politically popular within their party.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
That's why the CPAC has been dreadful these past few years. It is like everyone... It's just been like, whoa, CPAC, whoopty freaking
for
do.
You? Not
no.
For, not for the major
for old
party.
Guys
the party leaders are happy.
No, the CPAC is becoming almost so irrelevant that it's ridiculous.
Only to you.
No, it's not only to me.
Because
why do you say that? Your premise requires that the Republican Party is not having a base shift. It is. There is a large base shift. That's why Mitt Romney got destroyed. Because they tried to fight the base shift that's going on. If Mitt Romney was not the candidate and it was some guy that was more in line with the base shift that's going on, Barack Obama would have lost. He got less votes than his first go around, and he still won.
You have way more hope in the Republican Party than I do.
Well,
yeah, I'm with Galt.
It's not happening.
I'm sorry. There is a base shift moving in the Republican Party.
I do think that
the system is set up and corrupt. It's
right. I do think that.
Not.
Here's
I'll
what I will say.
Him,
there are a lot of people who are our age who are in the Republican Party who do think along the ways that we think that are in sort of the establishment structure, at least here in Indiana. A lot of the Republicans my age, 30 and under, that I talk to, people that are state reps right now, are very open to listening to libertarians. Guys like State Senator Jim Banks is introducing a lot of libertarian legislation. Mike Delf is introducing
pay your money in gold legislation. The sound money.
No. You'd have to just go look at what Banks has introduced, but I think that might have been one of them. But I'm not sure. I mean, he's things like civil libertarian type pieces of legislation to counteract the stupidity of people who, like, if you even get arrested for a felony, you have to give over your DNA. That was a Republican.
Am I the only one that kind of sees that Rand Paul's like the libertarian JFK?
Here's how I view Rand Paul.
Let me make my distinction, my analogy here.
Okay.
So you had a gentleman who was in the federal government who had ambition to be president of the United States, who ruined it by not hating Hitler. Joe Kennedy would have been president of the United States or at least the Democratic nominee after Roosevelt had it not been for the fact that he was so lax on Hitler leading up to World War II. Had it not been for that, he would have probably had a legacy and he would have probably been president. But he didn't. He kept saying that we should let Hitler do his thing and denying all these terrible encroachments, and it was over. And his son became a senator and then became a president. He was Rand Paul, or so you have Ron Paul.
Does that mean that Ron Paul's have lots of union members rigging the votes?
No. No, but it's not a 100% analogy, but I think it's relevant. You have Ron Paul who ruined his presidential chances by being essentially wearing his heart on his sleeve. Mm-hmm. And then you have his son who's becoming a senator and he's playing more of the game. I think the history is in the favor of Rand on this one.
I view Rand Paul as
not if he drives to Dallas.
A guy who, okay, thank you. I view Rand Paul as, and I totally agree with this
assessment. I think JFK and Rand Paul stand for a little bit something different, though.
Yeah.
I think they do.
Not
really.
I saw a tweet today.
Plus, he didn't drive to Dallas. He flew to Dallas. God, he drove through Dallas.
Can I finish my point? Can I finish?
Not when Creighton's here. You know this.
You're starting it. You started it. You finish it. So, someone tweeted out today that Rand Paul is the libertarian version of Mitt Romney. I don't want to, but I'll vote for him. And that kind of made me laugh. I do think he is one of the few politicians on the national stage who could unite the Tea Party right, a lot of the libertarian movement, and the establishment, and he could win the primary. Now, the problem is what Matt Lewis says, is that he does have some of the sins of the father. He does have things like the Rachel Maddow appearance hanging over his head. He does have, you know... We all know that libertarians in the mainstream are not understood.
But all that stuff
by
is
the public at
see,
large.
The thing is you gotta you, all that stuff is capable to be overcome with an effective messenger. Barack Obama did coke, all right. In the past, if the president was caught, if people knew the president did coke, it was over. But Barack Obama was an effective messenger, and he tackled that problem in his past the right way.
I did coke.
It didn't matter. All right. So you guys are.
But do you think that Rand Paul has the oratorical abilities to overcome that? I mean, do you really see him as that brilliant of a?
I mean,
Reagan-like figure as a speaker?
No, I wouldn't say he's a Reagan-like speaker. I think what he is he's a guy who has ideas that are popular at root, and he has the capability of messaging them against politicians. Because let's face it, a lot of things that Washington does, a lot of things that are passed because they are they're pushed by people who are professional salesmen. I mean, the main reason why Mitt Romney lost? Other than the whole Republican
he didn't
Party
get
problem,
as many votes as Barack Obama.
No, do you know what the exit polls said as to why most people didn't vote for him?
Because he was white.
No, because they said he didn't care about them.
Right.
They didn't feel like he cared about them. All right. So you have a guy who can sell crap. All right. Barack Obama sells crap. Everything he stands for is crap.
There's a lot of times
I sells it.
I listen to him and I go, I totally agree with
Barack
Obama.
He sells crap.
I just know he's going
to People aren't voting in these big elections. They don't vote because they think their guy is going to be the philosophical figurehead of a populist movement against big government. They vote for people because of how they message themselves, how they feel about them on an emotional level.
And you think Rand Paul has that?
Honestly, I do think that he has the ability to message himself in such a way. Totally.
I think it depends on who he puts around him. I mean, if he has the political acumen of the team that his father built,
it's over.
Then he's in trouble because
you'll know he's not serious.
Yeah,
you'll know immediately.
Unfortunately, he has to hire these hotshot Republican firms from D.C. that are going to turn him into, basically a flag waving Republican that turns off a lot of libertarians a lot of times, but. It failed miserably for Goldwater, and I think that's Creighton's point. And then we'll go to Galt to get he's just fidgeting in his seat. you know, Goldwater came out and he said, listen, I'm just going to say what I'm going to say. He was very outspoken. He was very blunt. He wasn't a great messenger.
Plus, he said he wanted to nuke Vietnam.
His message was great. It was the way he just was, you know, what is the quote about the vice of liberty, I guess?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, and moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
Right, and so that's how the Daisy ad was created, where he's, you know, the little girl's being nuked by Russia, and it scares people and turns people off because Goldwater is not able to overcome his own inability to expound on his message. Now, his message was right. He just was a poor messenger. And I think a lot of ways Ron Paul suffered from that. His message is great. He just wasn't always the most effective communicator. He just was the only one who was honest enough to actually live out his principles. And I think that's what Galt is saying, is that if a person... I don't need rhetoric. I don't need words. I need deeds and actions. Now, Creighton would probably counter with, if you look at Rand's voting record, he's doing that.
Yeah, and you also have to point out that if it wasn't for Goldwater, there was no Reagan.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if it wasn't for Ron Paul, there would be no Rand Paul.
Well,
but
yeah,
Ron
in
Paul,
a lot of ways.
But Ron Paul, yeah, yeah, in more than way, in more ways than one. But
he was literally planting the seeds of liberty.
But Ron Paul, I mean, we okay,
this one's
okay for everybody, for every single person who listens to this podcast and thinks that I'm like the Republican plant. For all you guys who think that I'm the Republican plant and I'm just here,
know you're a bat.
So
crap crazy at heart, man.
Yeah. Okay. So I want you guys to realize something. I'm talking to everyone who listens to this podcast. Ron Paul is not coming back for centuries. There will not be another Ron Paul probably in our lifetimes. Deal with it. Move on and start either moving on with your life or trying to affect real change using people that aren't Ron Paul, because you're not going to have that person to promote these values. Deal with it. I'm sorry. Ron Paul is done. And he's done by his own choice. He's going on a talking circuit, and he's going to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
But if you guys think that Ron Paul is coming back in some other form, you are going to be sadly mistaken, and you're going to hate everything that happens in this country, because all you're going to think to yourself is, man, if only we had Ron Paul. That may be true, but you're not faced with the option of, let's find another Ron Paul, or let's find somebody who's not Ron Paul. You're faced with the option of, let's find someone who's good, and let's fight those who suck. Because Ron Paul is a once-in-a-lifetime guy. I mean, he's almost once in a country. There's few people in the history of the United States that are as good as this guy.
All right. He's all right.
I mean, no, I'm serious.
Listen.
As for what he stood for, yes. I mean,
there are three men who are great. George Washington, Jesus, and Bran and Ron Paul.
No, I'm not going that far. I'm not going that far. But I'm serious. As far as like how politicians stood in the history of the United States, I mean, it's been one continuous grow. I mean, government has, to an extent, grown throughout our history. I mean, it's almost self-evident because it grew from the Articles to the Constitution. Then what's the point, Chris?
There's no point.
Then why do you even care? Why do you care?
Let's go over to Chris.
Do you care to the point that you just like to rub people the wrong way? Is that why you give a crap?
Go, Captain Eeyore.
I just like to rub people the wrong way?
Yeah. Because if you honestly have that perspective, there is no reason for you to take any part in this at all.
If it's hopeless, then why are you involved, Chris?
Because all societies collapse.
So what? You want to be the guy on top of the mountain? You want to be the guy on top of the mountain saying, I told you so?
Because I'm telling you right now, I'd eat you first.
Not if I ate you first.
I'll sit on you. So why, if you're going to be that much of a Debbie Downer, why are you even involved in any of this? What's the point? If it's just going to collapse and it's going to go to hell and Hitler 2.0 is going to rise, what's the point?
I don't know what my motivation is, I guess. I've been doing it.
Fame, fortune,
since
chicks.
What, 2009, and I've lost every single election except for Rand Paul's. This is the only one I helped on that won since I started this. So,
man, you just made Creighton's point for him.
I mean, no, I've never said that Rand Paul wasn't good enough. I mean, I just don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way that he supports the two-party system. Ron Paul didn't do that. Ron Paul did not.
Yeah, he only ran as a Republican.
I mean, he ran as a Libertarian.
He ran as a Republican, too.
And
that's when he won.
And because he ran on principles, not because of a party.
He played politics.
To get elected. No, he didn't play politics.
He played politics.
I mean,
okay.
Listen,
I'm going to have to make the point that he's made often, and that's the pork point.
The pork point, yes.
He was a congressman in a district that got a lot of money.
I mean,
a lot of pork. And also, if you look at Campaign for Liberty,
a lot of pork compared to Young Americans for Liberty. Not compared to other congressmen.
Yeah, but Young Americans for Liberty, Campaign for Liberty, these are brilliant, shrewd political moves that a tactical politician has made to make sure that his organization was built, structured, and ready to go 4 years later. I mean, he is a politician. Let's not get that. You know, politician isn't a dirty word. No, it's just how you do it.
I think he took it a different way. I don't see other politicians creating those kinds of things. Those kinds of bases like that, like Ron Paul did.
I see Ron Paul being a guy who didn't make any difference for so long, and then people finally heard him and they respected and what he believed in, and then he pounced on that as a way to advance that further after he was done. And that's a politician move. If he was just a philosopher, he wouldn't have done anything. He would have just said, "Thank you for listening. Thank you.
No,
hopefully you agree," and he wouldn't have done nothing.
No, you're right.
All right, so let's clear up kind of...
He was an actor.
No, he wasn't an actor.
Before we go...
I mean, like, a person that acts, not a fake person.
All right, before we go, let me tell you what Rand Paul said, because I do think there is some nuance to what he said. Now, this comes a week after Rand Paul was in Israel, on a trip, saying, "I'm going to cut foreign aid to Israel and fight for cutting foreign aid," which got everybody all up in a tizzy. What he said was, We'll absolutely stand with Israel, he said in an interview with Breitbart News. But what I think we should do is announce to the world, and I think it is pretty well known, that any attack on Israel will be treated as an attack on the United States. So I do, it's nuanced, and I think that's what Creighton's saying is, you know, he's not saying, well, if somebody attacks them, then we're going to send in all kinds of fighters. You know, I mean, it's not a commitment of any type, but I do think there's...
That is the state of the American foreign policy situation.
Right.
That the minute anybody says... The minute that, you know, Iran farts in Israel's direction, the United States are going to bomb the crap out of them.
Yeah, and John Kerry was arguing for doing whatever it took in no uncertain terms. We will not let Iran get a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because the Obama administration... I mean, we say it all the time, but as far as the Iran conflict, they've been so much more hawkish than Bush. Just on Iran, I mean, obviously on civil liberties, we always talk about that. But on Iran, I mean, Panetta saying that we will do everything to make sure that they do not have a nuclear weapon.
There was Reason noted it, and we tweeted it out. Here's the headline. Rand Paul to John Kerry. Why is it okay to bomb Libya but not Cambodia without Congress's approval? So I was like, all right, Rand has had a mixed week, in my opinion. All right, last word on the topic goes to Chris Galt before we wrap up.
All right, a politician, for me, I'm going to explain myself now, you earn two things from me personally, respect and approval. And Rand Paul has my approval completely. Ron Paul had my respect.
Mm-hmm.
And Rand Paul has not earned my respect.
I guess that's a good way to put it.
And as a president... I mean, I post stuff that Obama said all the time that he lied about. And I can see myself doing exactly the same thing when Rand Paul's president. He just said that, and he's either going to do it or he's not. And if he doesn't do it, he made an open-ended politician remark that has no grounding, and he's just doing stuff to get votes.
Dated Ron Paul for his mind.
I mean,
you're dating Rand Paul for his looks.
I still approve of him. If I lived in Kentucky, I'd vote for him. I'd help him get reelected. I mean, he does the right things, but I don't respect the way he's doing it.
This just came in, and then before we go to the wrap up here,
just came in. Breaking news! This is dun dun dun.
Breaking news via Facebook, everybody.
Breaking news from one James Neese.
Oh man!
Here we go.
Oh man!
Really? If you're not,
what does Reddit have to say?
If you're not friends, Facebook friends with James Neese, you're not on Facebook.
Yeah, it's the best time ever. Just watching the things he says.
Arizona Republicans proposed bill that would not allow allow atheists to graduate high school. A group of Arizona politicians,
oh god,
all Republicans, of course, have proposed a law, House Bill 2467, requiring public high school students to recite the following oath in order to graduate. I, Chris Galt, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will take this obligation freely, without a mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge these duties, so help me God.
And that is why public schools are stupid. Because yep. When you have public schools, you have politicians making policy.
So all the, you know, when
why
you go,
don't, why don't people understand that?
When you go to...
Why we got
to
pump... Schools are broken. Give them more money. Yeah. We need more money. Take more property taxes.
When you go to Thanksgiving and your conservative Uncle Larry starts spouting off how schools are just indoctrination factories, say, yes, I agree. Here, read this story about Arizona Republicans. So there's just a ton of crazy crap that's
going on. We might have to
talk
about
it.
But if we didn't have public schools, then... Parents would have to teach their
children. We should, because this tomorrow begins School Choice Week. School Choice Week is all of next week, so we should talk about school choice. But let's talk about the jailbreaking rule that's taking place, because I think a lot of our listeners are going to be devastated. This comes from Mashable. We posted it to the We Are Libertarians Facebook page this afternoon. The clock to unlock a new mobile phone is running out. In October 2012, the Librarian of Congress, who determines exemptions to a strict anti-hacking law called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, decided that unlocking cell phones would no longer be allowed. But the librarian provided a 90-day window during which people could still buy a phone and unlock it. That window closes on January 26th, Saturday, January 26th. Unlocking a phone frees it from restrictions that keep the device from working on more than one carrier's network, allowing it to run on other networks that use the same wireless standard. This can be useful to international travelers who need their phones to work on a different network. Other people just like the freedom of being able to switch carriers as they please. Won't be a problem for everybody. For example, Verizon's iPhone 5 comes out of the box already unlocked, and AT&T will unlock the phone. Okay, so it's a little bit different than jailbreaking, necessarily. Unlocking allows you to switch carriers, but it's not terribly different. So we have a situation where, inexplicably, one librarian of Congress has changed the rules for every single person. Jailbreaking was especially useful if you wanted to switch carriers or if you wanted to go across the pond with your iPhone 5 or your Android whatever bullcrap, and you wanted to use your cell phone on European networks.
Why?
Without...
You could just yell. And you're such somebody, a closet, you could yell Apple from England and someone in France would hear you.
So,
like, hey, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'm going to go swim in the English Channel first. You can walk through England.
Note that unlocking is different from jailbreaking, which opens the phone for running additional software and remains legal for smartphones. So I stand corrected. So what now, Mr. Galt, you seem greatly affected by this. What's your opinion of it?
Well, at least it's not jailbreaking. But I mean, I hack every phone I've ever had my whole life. I've unlocked and jailbroken and rooted every phone I've ever had. And I don't know. Somebody trying to tell me that I can't do that is... I've never hurt anyone. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt the company. I'm still paying them every month. You know, I'm not. I don't understand how it's a liability for Verizon. They just want more control. I mean, Google said that they're not making any more. They're not releasing any more Nexus devices on Verizon ever, because Verizon is so like. They're like,
yeah, this just doesn't give any clarity.
I don't even know. Like,
they like make concert.
They're just a really restrictive corporation, and
I still don't understand the point of doing this. I don't understand why.
Because they don't want you to use other people's towers,
right?
They want you to use theirs.
This might be part of the puzzle. The change could crimp the style of carriers like T-Mobile, which have pushed bring your own device as an incentive for switching the service providers.
Yep.
Such carriers promise savings in exchange for using your existing phone on their network.
Yep.
So a company like T-Mobile, because the way that, cell towers work is that AT&T and T-Mobile essentially use one type of network, Sprint.
GSM.
Yeah, Sprint.
And Sprint and Verizon are...
Sprint and Verizon are on a similar network, so you could go in back and forth. T-Mobile and Sprint, you could go back and forth. Very similar. So while T-Mobile does not have access to iPhones currently, you could...
buy an unlocked iPhone and go take it to T-Mobile.
Right, which, of course, AT&T, who spends a crap ton of money on lobbying, does not like.
Right.
So,
and a lot of people are doing that. I know a lot of people have switched to prepaid T-Mobile because it is a lot. I mean, once I get off my contract, well, if it's not illegal, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So whenever Google gets all these Wi-Fi towers put up, we can just use Google Voice.
Gosh,
and
Google's, I swear Google's going to save libertarians in
this country. Evan McMahon was telling me one time that Google actually created like the switch box or something for cell towers or cell phones. And it's like a whole big thing that Google actually was extremely instrumental in helping the cell phones proliferate. So yeah. I'll have to ask him. I'm going to edit that part out. So let's just.
I don't know. If their Google Fiber ever went wireless as well and nationwide, that could really help.
All right. So.
All you'd need is a nationwide Wi-Fi network.
Yeah. Skype.
What?
Skype and Google Voice. That's all you need to make phone calls.
And any various social network to text people.
Right. Screw you, AT&T. Bring it.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up. Let's, you know, final thoughts for the week.
Did we cover everything?
We didn't get to guns.
We didn't get to guns. We talked about guns enough.
You
can't talk about guns enough.
The fact that
I'm sure Chris wants to talk about his new handgun he got.
One of the circuit courts struck down recess appointments as unconstitutional.
That's a big deal.
There was the filibuster deal, so now it's harder to do a filibuster. You know, really, my tip of the week as we sort of wrap up here is make sure you check out WeAreLibertarians.com. Go and check it out. I've started doing every day a news roundup. Kind of put a lot of work into it, and I'm playing around with the format. And gives you basically...
Yeah, why don't you take away the two comment boxes at the bottom of every post, Facebook and WordPress.
How about you take up more... I have to scroll for 10 minutes to get to the bottom of that post.
I did.
I'm just messing with you.
God damn it.
I liked it. I like Storify is what you're using.
I Storify, and I go and I grab all the tweets and articles and Google News and everything that you'd need to know. I formatted it today, so the commentary's on top. There's some Libertarian Party news in there, and then there's news, and I break it out by story now.
And
so,
I followed your thing on Google Reader, and it's given me some great sources and stuff to look at.
I'm
great.
That sent me to a forbidden.
There's an updated link. I broke it right in the middle of promoting it. So I'm a data collector. If you can't tell, I love to collect information.
I love to collect data.
So I have created a Facebook list so you can subscribe to the list. And I've collected about 500 libertarian Facebook pages. Collected a massive libertarian RSS feed that you
I did go through when you first got all that up on the site. I went through every single news feed and subscribed to it in my reader, and now hook it up through my Tap2 reading app.
Facebook, you got the lists. You can go to the We Are Libertarians Facebook page, grab them there. They're also in the sidebar on WeAreLibertarians.com. Check out the news roundup every day. That'll keep you informed. If you'll notice how I sounded like I had actually prepped for this episode, nope. I just have been actually following the news this week and throwing it all into the Storify for you guys, too.
We don't ever prep. Why would anyone think we prepped?
I know. all right, so final words. What's going, you know, anything you want to say, Creighton. Floor is yours. How was your birthday, by the way?
Cake.
Good
cake. Brownies. I just finished them off today.
Did you get anything good?
Cake.
That's
no, it. I got a pack of beer. I'm getting old. I don't get good presents anymore.
I know.
I just got a 20 pack of Sam Adams. Though. That was
wow,
nice.
Grandma?
No, aunt.
Okay. Yeah. Now your aunt really knows
plus,
how to party.
Plus, but a lot of my birthday presents got consumed by the fact that my truck broke and I had to get it fixed by my parents. So there went my birthday presents.
See, when you're in your early to mid 20s, every Christmas and birthday present is like, I really could use some new tires on my truck. Yeah.
If we leave the mic on when I leave, you'll hear my truck leave because my we took my muffler off.
That's okay. Oh, you live in Decatur. It's normal.
Yeah, it does sound cool though. It's not a powerful truck by any means.
It's like when I was in high school. Cool everybody took off their muffler. So
well, I had to. It literally exploded.
Was that still a trend when you guys were in high school?
No, people wanted the loudest cars.
My muffler literally exploded. I was gone in D.C. for the whole weekend, and it got cold. And I tried to start it, and it wouldn't start. Me and my dad are the only guys that can start it when it gets cold like that, but it requires us to flood it to an extent. Mm. And he did it too much, and it backfired, and it blew my muffler apart. I actually still got a picture. We can post it on the website, but I'll show it to you guys here so you can hear the reactions.
Email it. Or text it.
This is my muffler. That's my muffler.
Let me see. That is hard steel too.
That is hard form steel.
Wow.
It ripped open like tissue paper.
Wow.
Wow.
So we had to take it off, yes.
All right. So my final comment.
Yep.
If you're passionate about something, be it politics, guns, Dodge Ram trucks, or Google. Don't let anyone call you obsessed.
What about
stay
rape?
Passionate and keep working.
What about rape?
And that's my God.
My quote is, "Death is a better, milder fate than tyranny" by Aeschylus.
Ooh.
Bam!
Well, mine has something
drop,
to do with
I can
we
drop
were
stuff
about.
Like that, too.
Suck on that. I'm so smart. Suck it. All right. Thank you for listening to We're Libertarians this week. Go check out the news site. And please share this on Facebook. And please,
wearelibertarians.com.
And go to iTunes. Do us a favor if you're listening on iTunes, if you get it through iTunes, give us stars. We'd encourage 5.
Whatever you're listening give us some stars.
Three.
I mean,
we'll take 4.
If you're
going
to give us 1 or 2, don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't vote. Don't vote.
We can't.
If you want to, we're not on iTunes. If you want to vote us that low,
yeah. 3 to 5. If you're going to give us less, don't even put anything.
But
just
if you give us
blank.
A comment or a like, then that helps us bump it up. So that helps us move up the charts. And Stitcher, we're on Stitcher as well. That's an app where you can listen. And I actually sent an email to Stitcher today. I'm trying to get them to create a libertarian podcast category.
Oh yeah, are we going to get on Google Play?
Sure.
Are we in control of that in any way?
I don't know.
Is that Google's call?
We're on.
We can get on it.
You know, we're even on the BlackBerry. The BlackBerry Podcast Network.
Wow.
So,
and that's why our listen count's so low.
That's the only place you can get us is on BlackBerry.
Oh, when Creighton had a BlackBerry,
I did have a BlackBerry.
He had a BlackBerry for the
you know
longest
what?
Time.
I still love the keyboard.
All right, so all of you listening out there on your BlackBerry device, dude, thanks for listening. You guys have a great week.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell. This podcast is produced by What Is a Hoosier Productions.